Blog Talk Radio.
All Access Abdul. All Access Abdul. Get ready to get the straight-up gossip with All Access Abdul, live on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another fun edition of All Access Abdul. It is, I think, week six now, if I'm right. I think, Amy, right? Week six?
Yes, it's week six, and we have a special guest on our show. I can't wait to talk to her and hear from her. It's been a while, Barbie, but we have Barbie Engel, and she's going to talk to us about RSD. Welcome to the show, Barbie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here with both of you. Congratulations on 6 weeks of success once again, bringing the All Access Abdul show back. That's pretty awesome.
We're loving it.
Yay! Well, we're all about bringing the family together and just talking and meeting, you know, other family members and just wanting to share the family love and, you know, love talking to the other Paula Abdul fans. But so that's why we, you know, we thought why not just bring the show on back and, you know, we just, you know, chit chat about Paula Abdul and what her careers or what she's been up to and everything. And so why not bring it back?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you guys are doing a good job. And, you know, I was excited to have it come back because who doesn't like to celebrate Paula Abdul? She just is totally amazing. And on top of that, I know a lot of her health struggles because I live on myself. And I know that what she does and how she lives is a miracle, and it's a motivation and an inspiration, and it helps other patients around the world get up every day and keep living their lives.
Amen. It's amazing how she can get back on the stage and dance.
Yeah,
her
I mean,
based off of
what you just said, Barbie, you know, I know you have a kind of unique perspective because you yourself deal with RSD. For those of you that are listening that don't know, Paula also herself suffers from RSD. But Barbie, what are some of the issues with RSD that you deal with on a daily basis? You know, what does it do to you?
Well, that's a great question. And first I'll tell you, RSD stands for reflex sympathetic dystrophy, and there's over 20 names for this condition. So it's a rare disease.
Wow.
And every new doctor that figures something out thinks he has this whole new disease, so he gets to name it, and it ends up being RSD. So it's easier just to say, I have RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And the things that patients with RSD, including myself, face on a daily basis is pain, and that's the worst of the symptoms. But the pain is typically like somebody put lighter fluid in your veins and caught you on fire, and it's very difficult to put out. That's all the time. And then there's also aching and crushing and dull and electric pain. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting hit with lightning. It's random. It can strike anywhere in my body. It's sharp and sudden. Sometimes it's stabbing. Sometimes it feels like someone's on my back with a jackhammer. Sometimes it's tingling. And those pains all come and go, but the burning pain is the hardest one to control, and it's there all the time. But then on top of that, there's an extreme sensitivity to touch. And so even the slightest touch of clothing, sheets, a hug, a breeze across the skin, a ceiling fan can cause excruciating pain or a pain flare, as we know them. And so it's hard to, like, get to touch people. And, you know, like with Paula, like, hugging people is got to be a hard situation to go into, but I know she loves to give hugs and does. So it's like, wow, knowing what I feel when I get hugged is like, again, she's a miracle. There's bone changes. So reflex stands for anything in your body that's automatic, goes haywire. So you're swallowing, your stomach, your heart beats, all of that. Sympathetic is the burning nerve pain. And dystrophy is loss of muscle and bone. So a lot of times you end up with osteoarthritis, which Paula has a commercial out now talking about that she lives with arthritis. It causes joint stiffness and tenderness. It can cause short-term cognitive issues. So some people think like, oh, you're drunk or you're this or you're that. And it's like, ah, no, I don't even drink alcohol. It's just that I have short-term memory issues. Now, if it's something in my long-term memories, it's pretty solid and it's there. But short-term memories, especially when the pain is high, if you're having a pain flare, it's harder to remember. So, you get those kind of stigmas from society, and it's like, no, it's actually part of the disease. Chronic fatigue, extreme fatigue is known to happen, and it happens to me. Body fatigue, there's a lot. You can stop me anytime, but I'll just keep going until you interrupt. Fevers, rashes, sores, just random swelling. Sometimes it can be in like one finger or a limb, or sometimes it can be just your whole body is swollen. Hearing and vision troubles, dry eyes. So sometimes it's hard to, you can cry and you can have the emotion, but sometimes the tears don't come as easy. Horner syndrome, where typically one of your eyes will droop. And I definitely have that. I see Paula on her bad days. You can go back and look at pictures there. And you can see that. Like she'll wear her bangs down over her eyes sometimes, or that type of thing. But if her hair is away from her eyes and you look at the pictures, you'll see like, oh, she had a good pain day or a bad pain day, depending on how far her eyes.
Well, I'm going to jump in really quickly because you mentioned something, and I was going to bring this up a little bit later in our interview, but I know from talking to you, through our different conversations, you've shared with me that that is the comment of you're drunk, you're on drugs, you're on some cocaine, something or other, some substance.
Yeah.
That's something I know that really bothers you. And Amy and I both know that Paula went through that very publicly when she was on American Idol. Everyone would think she was loopy and crazy and didn't know what she was talking about. So can you kind of explain a little bit more about what you guys try to do at the International Pain Foundation to specifically kind of educate people that, hey, it's not something drug-induced. This is literally how it is.
Well, the International Pain Foundation is a nonprofit charity that my family started, and it grew from a family foundation into an international nonprofit where we're helping people from around the world. And the first disease that we worked with is the disease that both Paula and I have, reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And we do education, we do awareness, we do social events, because a lot of times patients will isolate themselves because of the stigmas that come from society. And then we do access to care, where we help patients navigate the minefield of the health system to get the care that they need, because it is a rare disease. It's one of 7,000 rare diseases, and less than 5% of rare diseases have a treatment, or let alone a cure, even less have a cure. It's something that society doesn't talk about. Our society is made to have people bounce back after an injury. So it's really set up for acute care, like you break your arm, so you go get a cast, and then you do some physical therapy, and then you're better. And with RSD, you just don't get better. You can have improvements, but you're going to have flares. You're going to have challenges, and there's going to be people that need to understand and recognize that even though your pain might be better, so you're up and you're dancing today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you're not going to be in bed or doing all kinds of treatments to bounce back from that night of dancing and performing. Again, Paula is a miracle, and she did face this very publicly. I've gotten it on a very small scale compared to what she went through, but it literally is so hard when people who don't know the disease or understand the disease don't take the time to stop and listen. So International Pain Foundation, or what we call it, IPAIN, does events to break the stigmas, lower the stigmas, and let people know that, hey, it's not okay to put people down for the challenges that they're facing, especially when it comes to health.
And I think that's fabulous, Barbie, that you and Ken, you guys both come out and you talk about the IPAIN Foundation, and you try to help educate people about it, because supposedly it takes 5 to 6 different doctors for you, or even Paula has said in her interviews, 5 to 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
6 doctors until she's diagnosed. But, you know, we
yep.
also know that she got her, suffered from chronic pain since she was 17 because of an injury from a cheerleading accident. My question to you is, how long have you mm-hmm. been suffering with RSD? When were you diagnosed, and what triggered you, or what caused you to have RSD?
Oh, thank you. That's a great question. I had many cheerleading dance injuries over the years, and luckily it didn't trigger it. But I was in a minor car accident when I was 29 years old, about to turn 30, 2 months from turning 30, and I was rear-ended, and I was found walking around in the building where I was coaching at Washington State University. I was a head cheerleading and dance coach, and I was found walking around, wandering around, and I was crying, and they said, you know, what's wrong? The girl that found me said, what's wrong? And I said, I can't find the gym, and I was literally standing 5 feet from it. And they were like, something's wrong. You need to go to the hospital. They called my husband. He came and picked me up and took me to the hospital, and they said I had whiplash and I would be better in 3 or 4 days, and here I am almost 20 years later. And find that 3 or 4 days passed a long time ago, and it was quite a challenge. Yeah, the average is 5 to 6 providers before you get the proper diagnosis. For me, it was my 43rd doctor, and I
wow.
knew that I wouldn't give up the life that I had. I was living on top of the world. I had everything going for me, and I would not have given it up for anything. And it all was gone in 8 seconds.
That's so crazy to me. Well, I know you keep mentioning how Paula's a miracle and a bright light, but Barbie, I just want to let you know you're a hero too. I think everything that you do and what you've suffered with and what you've been going through, how you can still get up every day and continue your life, I think you're amazing and you're beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100% echo just what Amy said. You know, the fact that you yourself are so courageous to put your story out there in just the hopes that, you know, if somebody hears, you know, if this lady can do it, why can't I? And I know, and Amy knows this as well, that, you know, we all had the luck to be able to come out to Los Angeles for the IPAIN Summit about 2 years ago. And if anybody ever doubts the strength that Barbie Ingle has, I would like
yes.
to tell everybody that this woman was walking around with an oxygen tank on a scooter trying to make sure that her event still went down and was successful. So,
yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you, I think most people would curl up in a ball and just say, F it, I'm
right.
not doing it. I don't care. I don't feel good. And she still showed up. So, credit
exactly, and she came from another state. It's not like she went from her local neighborhood to a place down the street. She came from Arizona to Los Angeles with the wheelchair,
yeah.
with the oxygen tank. You're
yeah.
you're freaking amazing, Barbie.
Aw, thank you.
How you do it? Wow.
I live moment to moment, and any. You know, mistakes or anything that I wish I could have done, I let go of the guilt and persevere on. And I saw you guys, thank you for coming to that event. And Megan is a IPAIN Hero of Hope winner for media. So The family showed up and supported her, and it was just awesome to have you all there. Thank you for being a part of it. I literally had doctors on standby. I had UCLA Hospital on standby because they were like, they didn't want me there. I should have been in the hospital, but I was like, but this is like the one event every year that I save up my energy pennies for, and I have to do, and I have to be a part of this. And literally, they were ready to take me away anytime. And my breathing was really, really poor at that event, and that's why I had the oxygen machine, and it was difficult. The car ride and not having – we had to stop multiple times on the way there and the way home just to plug in the oxygen machine so I could breathe enough to go another 45 minutes or so.
Wow.
It was a tough ride.
Now, Barbie, I want to throw this question out to you really quickly. A patient who deals with RSD and you see someone like Paula and she's almost 60 years old and she's got all these issues and all these chronic pain and things that she's dealt with, as someone who is actively dealing with RSD every day and the other medical problems that you face, when you see her, what does that do for you? How does that inspire you?
She inspires me every single day. And I was diagnosed in 2005, which is when she came out publicly and announced that she had RSD. And it was like a validation of I'm not crazy. I had gotten the answers, and I saw her doing and trying to do all the things. And I would see, you know, oh, look how she claps. Oh, look at her eye. Her eye's like my eye. If she can do that, I can do this. And I had stopped dreaming of cheerleading. Doctors told me, get it out of your head. You'll never dance again. And I started having, after I got to actually finally meet Paula in person and form a relationship with her, I started dreaming about dance again. And, like, I had, prior to the accident, I would, like, come up with routines and choreograph in my sleep. Like, it was my life, and I stopped dreaming about it. I stopped having the memories of it, and now I dream about it often.
Was it almost like a painful reminder for you of something that you could no longer do, that you just had to get it out of your head?
Maybe, like, I psychologically blocked it out. Because it was something I had done since I was 4 years old, 26 years of my life. I told my dad when I was four that I was going to be a cheerleader the rest of my life, and he said, no, you're not. And I kept repeating that to him my entire life until he passed away. And once I graduated college, a week after college, I started my own cheer and dance training company, and he goes, I guess you are going to be a cheerleader the rest of your life. But he was like, no, you have to do something else. You have to have other talents. You have to have other skills. You can't just have one thing. And really that was my purpose from God, was to be a cheerleader and dancer. So after the doctors were telling me, like, stop striving to get back to where you were, this is your new life. Yeah, I probably did block it out, and you know, it was very painful. And then all of a sudden you see Paula Abdul, and she's still living through her talents. And she still found a way to be inspired and to find a way to do it. And as she was able to get treatment and get help between 2005 and 2012, you saw her do more and more. And, you know, it was just super inspiring to see, like, well, she's doing it. She's getting up every day. And there is other patients that say, well, you know, she has millions of dollars. She can get all the treatments that she needs. Yes, Paula has a team propping her up that is doing a very, very good job. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't suffer through the same symptoms and the same challenges. And it doesn't mean that she's not a miracle. She is a miracle. And there is access to the treatment. She might be able to get access sooner, and more often and more effectively to keep her going, but that doesn't mean that we can't all strive to do the same, and that's what I do.
When you're having a difficult day, what helps? What helps you get through the day?
Taking it moment by moment. I could start a day feeling like, oh, today's great. I can stand up. I put my feet on the ground. I do a little stretching. I'm like, yes, I can do this. And then 2 hours later, I crash. I have a flare. Something. I stub my toe. I walk into a suitcase and break my foot. Yes, that actually happened. And all of a sudden, my whole day changes. And I give myself permission to go lay down, to do the health and well-being options and choices that I need to have in my life. I find a way to get past the side effects of the medications. I pump myself up. One thing I do is I'll post on like a pretty picture on Facebook or a picture where I think I look pretty, or I accomplished something that I didn't think I was going to be able to accomplish. So if I'm posting a lot of like happy, positive, motivational pictures, it usually means that things are not going great. And then when I'm doing better, that's when I post and say, hey, I had this hard time. Hey, I was going through such and such, you know, whatever it is that comes up. So I try to do opposite of if I'm feeling bad, I try to surround myself with good. But I give myself permission to have those bad moments and the bad times. And then I call my friends or Megan and be like, oh, my God, I woke up with puke in my mouth. And she, thank you for sharing.
Yes, I've been on the end of those phone calls many times. But usually, ironically, happens when I'm about to eat something. So.
Do what?
I said it. You
did you say it happened when you were eating something?
Right before I'm about to eat something for dinner. So
sorry, but I need to tell somebody because I can't just put that out there on social media, and I don't want to like bring down other patients in my bad times.
Yeah.
Like I try to use my bad times to be positive and motivational for other people, and so it's hard. And so like to call Megan and she's healthy, and I'm like, oh, my God, Megan, I'm going through this, or call another friend that's not going through the same thing and say, oh, I just need someone on earth to know that I'm going through this right at this moment.
Well, speaking of food, we know Paula talks highly about her regimen as far as eating alkaline foods and drinking a lot of alkaline water. Barbie, what do you do?
Oh, my goodness. I got microbiome test and found the foods that are right for me, and it's different for every single person, whether you have RSD or you don't. What you should be eating changes, and getting that test has been the most helpful. It helped. I also have a seizure disorder called microlepsy. It's a rare seizure disorder, and since getting those results and starting to follow them almost 2 years, July will be 2 years, I have had no kidney stones, and I have only had a handful of seizures. It really did change how I lived on a daily basis, and I lowered my pain levels. It's not gone, but they're lowered. But I use a variety of treatments. Definitely, as Paula said, food is one of those things. Ingesting the right food can really make a difference in the amount of energy and viability and everything that we have to give each moment of life. And then recently I did a pharmacogenomics test, which my husband actually started a company because we saw how great pharmacogenomics was for me and wanted to help other people. So he now works with 10 different labs, and he's doing pharmacogenomics and other health tests like that, where it compared the medications I'm on to the foods I'm eating to my DNA, and so it took that microbiome test a step further. And since March 1st, I got my results like February 26th, I believe, and then March 1st I started this new regimen, and because of all of the lung issues and everything I was going through and the breathing machine and medications, I had gone up to 144 pounds. That's the biggest, largest I've ever weighed in my life. So for me, I'm, if you don't know me and you're listening, I'm very petite, short, like Paula.
Yeah.
And
she looks
small
like
bones,
a typical cheerleader, like typical cheerleader.
Thank you. And to be 144 pounds, that was a lot of weight on my body. And I've lost, as of this morning, I've lost 24 pounds since March 1st. And that was all just by changing the food that I was eating.
And I think, again, I mean, you just brought this up, too, and I want to make sure we get this in before our show is over, but
yeah.
You mentioned a key point of you have a support system, and I want to make sure we don't forget to talk about Ken. And, you know, you brought up the fact that Paula has a support system, but Ken, for those of you who have not had the privilege to meet Barbie and Ken, and yes, their names are legitimately Barbie and Ken. We've gone through that story multiple times. I swear it's legit. But Ken is the one who does the laundry and cleans the house. And right now I know, Barbie, you guys are renovating a new house and you're living in a new house. And Ken really takes care of everything. And I know for this past year especially, you've been kind of confined to your home because of COVID, because should you contract COVID, it probably would not be the best thing for you.
Right. I don't know if
what does having the support system of Ken mean to you?
Of Ken? Well, he's the most amazing husband, and God has blessed me abundantly with Ken. And, you know, I always worry about Ken. He hurt himself today, actually, and it's like, oh, no, it's like stressful for me that he injured himself. Because he is my caregiver. He also is a caregiver for his dad, but he also reaches out and mentors and talks to other caregivers and patients. And so it's like in him, it's his nature. And if I didn't have him, it would be quite difficult to go through life and know what to do, how to survive, where to get to. It's when I'm having those short-term memory issues and my pain is really high, he can say, hey, have you tried this? Did you do that? And he's that backbone there for me to help me get the treatment and the help and the care that I need at home and at the doctor's.
Well, please let him know we say hi.
I will. He literally walked in right when you were, like, praising him, and he was like, oh.
Well, we love Ken.
We love
Serial Monster Ken. We love Serial Monster Ken. Ken is the best.
He's a
serial
killer.
We appreciate all of Ken's support. Yeah, see, Ken is a serial killer. Not in a way of, like, no, he's not actually killing people. He, like, just eats a lot of cereal. Like, don't want to spread the rumor that Ken's a serial killer.
He's not a serial killer. He eats a lot of cereal. And the things that I can't eat anymore, I just, like, watch him, like, eat a donut. I want a donut. I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
You eat a donut for me and tell me, like, how great it is so that I can know. Celebrate through him on the things that
Barbie,
I can't do anymore. Yes?
Barbie, you will always be my cheerleader of hope. And I am so happy you came onto our show and for you to tell us how it is living with RSD. But what are your daily challenges, though, living with RSD?
Well, it's difficult. I mean, I've had to have help with everything from getting dressed, taking showers, remembering to take my medications, remembering to do my mindfulness and other treatment options, needing help driving, especially having a seizure disorder, getting to places. It literally affects every aspect of my life. And anybody living with RSD, it affects our lives. It's known as a suicide disease, and I've lost many friends to suicide, very unfortunately, to suicide.
Oh, that's
and
so sad.
It's one reason why being positive and upbeat is so important, and then also sharing some of the struggles that we go through is important, so that people know you can live through it, and there is hope, there is help, and there is resources, because it is a challenge every single day.
Right, and it's 3 times more frequent in females than it is males. And you said that a million people suffer in the United States with RSD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a rare disease. There's about 50,000 new diagnosed cases a year, and it does affect, like you said, it affects women 3 times more than men. But treating it in men is even more difficult than treating it in women.
Oh, so it's like the opposite of that.
Yes. Yeah, less men get it, but it's harder to treat. They need even more treatments than the women need.
So
crazy.
Before we wrap up our show, I do just want to give Barbie a chance to answer this kind of question. But how do people get involved with International Pain Foundation? And do you guys have any upcoming events that people can partake in? I'm assuming a lot of things right now, since you do deal with a medical-related charity, that you guys are still kind of obviously going the virtual route for now. But is there anything coming up or anything going on?
Yes. To get in touch with the foundation, you can go to internationalpain.org. And we actually next weekend have a 5K run, walk, roll, dance, swim around the world. You can accomplish it any way that you're able to accomplish it. And we do that as a fundraiser to help us keep our fees down for our events, so that patients and caregivers can afford to attend our events and have no entry fee or very low entry fees, so that they can still get the education, awareness, and everything that they need. And our next event, as I said, is that Run, Walk, Roll that Megan happened to create for the International Pain Foundation. So thank you, Megan, for that. And this is our second year, our third event, carrying that event forward. And we're looking forward to that event. And we also have the iPain Summit every November. And we have many other events and awareness projects that come out throughout the year. So thank you so much. And I'll also, on the Blog Talk Radio, drop in the comments some links to the Run, Walk, Roll, the I Give a Care Run, Walk, Roll, and the International Pain Foundation itself, if that's okay.
And what can you share with us your Instagram page if our listeners want to follow you on social media?
Oh, thank you. Yes, my Instagram personally is Ken and Barbie Show, and Barbie spelled with a Y, like Mickey Mouse. Why? Because you like me, and help you remember. And then International Pain Foundation is just that, International Pain Foundation on Instagram.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on our show.
Well, thank you so much, Barbie, for coming on and for being the brave warrior that you are, and for sharing your stories and helping to empower people, both that suffer from chronic pain. And I know you personally helped me understand a lot about the chronic pain community. I'm very fortunate that I don't suffer from any sort of chronic pain, but through knowing you and becoming your friend, I've learned quite a numerous amount about the chronic pain community and RSD and every other sort of disease that we've ever talked about. Cause I know I call you and tell you I think I have a chronic pain illness, and you just tell me I have a headache, but it's always hear from you and to have you on our show. And we hope down the line, somewhere in the future, we can have you come back on, and you can talk to us some more, maybe a couple episodes from now.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
Angel Barbie,
and
thank you
both
for coming
for your
on.
Amy has been to our events, Hero of Hope event with you,
yes,
Megan, and also the Hope is True premiere party, and has been
that was a lot of fun.
And I know Amy has some chronic challenges of her own, so I appreciate both of you and all of your support and everything you do for the chronic pain community, as well as for Paula, because those are two loves in my life.
Aw, Well, thank you for coming on again. Just want to share with our listeners that Martino and Paula will be on HSN this Wednesday from 12 to 7 a.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. And thank you, everyone, for listening to All Access. I can't freaking talk. Thank you for listening to All Access Abdul.
And before we go, we also should point out that next Sunday we will not be on the air. Amy and I both have family commitments that we have to honor, so we will not be on the air next week. But our next show will be June. Is it June? Yes, June 6th.
Yes, it'll be.
Will be our next show. We're hopefully going to be getting the opportunity to talk to you guys a little bit more about our experiences going to Las Vegas for Paula's Las Vegas residency. So if anybody has any pictures they want to share or stories they want to share, that will be in 2 weeks. So just a reminder, we will not be live next week. Don't come looking for us because we won't be here.
No, but you can contact us on our Instagram page at All Access Abdul, and we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely, and give the International Pain Foundation some love, guys. I know they deserve it. I've witnessed many of their events, and it's completely worth it. So, you know, hit them up. Barbie's a great resource. She'll tell you everything you need to know about chronic pain and more. And if you ever need to laugh really hard, she's got some really great stories to share. I know that personally. I've heard the gamut of Barbie Ingalls' words of wisdom, and they are some kind of stories. They are great. But thank you again, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye.
Thank you.